Passage. It seems to me that this account which Luke gives of the events which occurred during this journey on the Emmaus Road is all about seeing Jesus. Seeing Jesus. And there are four ways I think we see Jesus here. Firstly, seeing Jesus on the cross. You know, these two disciples, one of whom is named as Cleopas, had witnessed many events in the previous few days. Verse 13 refers to two of them. Who were the them? If we go back to verse 9, we're told about the 11 and to all the others. So it wasn't just the 11, there was a whole load of other disciples there. And furthermore, if we go back to Luke 23, verse 49, we're told all those who knew him stood at a distance watching these things. So Cleopas and his friend had watched Jesus dying upon the cross. They had been deeply moved. They'd been saddened. And they were troubled by what they had witnessed. They didn't understand. You know, surely it's a vital part of our Christian experience to see Jesus upon the cross. To be there in our mind's eye, to witness the suffering of our Lord Jesus. We're going to listen to an old song which has always challenged me to see Jesus on the cross. If you know this song, you're very old. And it is a super song, but it's quite an old song, so it's written in an old style, but very simple words. And I want you to listen very carefully and feel what the Spirit is saying to you through this song.
Crucified my Lord. Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord?
Were you there?
Were you there when they nailed him to the tree?
Were you there?
Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they nailed him to the tree?
Were you there?
Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when the sun refused to shine?
Were you there?
Were you there when they laid him in the tomb?
Were you there?
Were you there when they laid him in the tomb?
Were you there?
Sometimes it comes to tremble. Were you there when they laid him in the tomb?
Were you
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when the sun refused to shine? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Does it cause you to tremble with awe and wonder at the cost of salvation? With shame and conviction of sin, knowing why it was necessary for him to be there. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Like the song, the experience of these two disciples had stopped at the tomb. They were in deep discussion about these events. What was the meaning? Why had it happened? They didn't understand. Their hopes had been dashed, and they were downcast. And know that in verses 19 to 24, Cleopas's summary of Jesus' ministry only lacked that final bit of understanding and personal faith and revelation. These two disciples clearly understood about the need for redemption, for buying back. But they didn't understand the cost. They needed someone to explain. Enter the risen Jesus. The risen Jesus actually appears with them on the road to explain. Now verse 16 tells us they were kept from recognizing him. Why didn't they recognize him? Well, perhaps with their own gloomy emotions. They were depressed in their mood. They were just so absorbed in that they didn't recognize him. And I wonder, do our emotions sometimes stop us from seeing Jesus too? Perhaps Jesus was somehow different in his resurrection body. If you read the resurrection accounts very carefully, you will see that a number of the accounts appeared to allude to this. Maybe Jesus was subtly different in his body, in his resurrection body. Perhaps it was just divine intervention preventing their natural senses from detecting something in order to give them an even greater blessing in a few hours' time. I wonder, sometimes does the Lord intervene in this way in our lives too? So the second thing is, these two disciples see Jesus on the journey. On the journey. Excuse me. It's something about being at the front. The journey of these two disciples from Jerusalem to Emmaus was about 7 miles. It would have taken about 2 hours or perhaps a little longer, since they were deep in conversation. They were true disciples seeking to understand what they had witnessed. And then this amazing thing happens. Jesus intervenes. He joins them on their journey. Doesn't it fill you with joy to know that our Lord Jesus loves to do the unexpected? He loves to turn up when we least expect him. He loves to intervene to do something special. That's what Jesus loves to do. So often when we're at a low ebb, Jesus intervenes in so unexpected and such wonderful ways. Why does Jesus intervene in these events? Well, he wants to help them, to encourage them, to correct them, to restore them, to illuminate their thinking, to teach them all about himself. But you know, most of all, Jesus appeared on that road because he loves these two ordinary disciples. He loves them. Jesus loves these two ordinary, sincere disciples. And it seems to me vitally important to take note of the fact that these were two ordinary disciples. You know, one isn't even named. And the other, we read of, Cleopas, isn't mentioned again in Scripture. They were bit players, cameo roles. Those actors in the story who you never know the names of, but you kind of think you've seen them in something before. They were the little people. And you know, in the vast scope of history, in the story of the Christian church, I guess most of us, and certainly me, are just bit players and cameo roles. But doesn't it fill you with joy that Jesus is still concerned about us, about the bit players? He loves us deeply too. He's ready to intervene in our lives too, just as he did in the lives of Cleopas and his friend. So be ready for Jesus to intervene in your life, because you're an ordinary disciple means that Jesus will intervene in your life too, on your journey, because he loves you too. Jesus will intervene on your journey of faith when you are wrestling with theology, as these two disciples were doing. And Jesus will carry us when things are tough. Many of you will be familiar with that poem, Footprints, and I'm not going to quote it today. But if you're not familiar with it, go and Google it, Footprints. And it talks in a very moving way about how Jesus will carry us when things get tough. Jesus will encourage us along the way. And these themes are picked up in these two CDs here by Adrian Plass, The Road to the City and The City of Gold. And I would warmly recommend these to you. I'm sure you would find them greatly encouraging in your Christian journey. They're all about the journey that we are on. So Jesus is with us on the journey and he will intervene. But notice in verse 28, he's not going to force himself upon us. Jesus acted as if he was going further. They invited him in. They needed to invite him in. You and I need to invite him in to invite him to be part of our lives, to stay and be involved in the details, big and small. So, the third thing is seeing Jesus in the Scriptures. Verse 27 records that beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the Scriptures concerning himself. You know, if we are to get a full picture of Jesus, if we are to see him clearly, then delving into Scripture is a necessity. And note, here, it's referring to the Old Testament, not to the New. That was yet to be written. To the Old Testament. Never neglect the Old Testament. The books of the law, the history books, the wisdom books, all point to Jesus. Only when we commit ourselves to such careful study with Jesus of God's word will our hearts burn within us too. And note the word all. He doesn't say just the easy bits, sadly. He does not say just the easy bits. Now, I know that some of Scripture is really, really difficult. Take the prophet Zechariah. Who's read Zechariah? Right, one or two hands going up. What a snorter of a book. It really is bizarre and strange and in some places really weird. And difficult to understand? Whoa. What a difficult book. But you know, as I stand here today, I would encourage you to read Zechariah, preferably with a helpful commentary alongside you. Because, you know, if you don't read Zechariah, you won't read about the Lord Jesus Christ in chapter 12, the one they have pierced. Or about Jesus riding on a donkey in chapter 9. And you know, if you don't understand all of it, don't worry. Focus upon the bits you do understand. Let the Holy Spirit show you what he wants to show you. And don't worry about the other bits. Because, you know, I'll tell you a little secret. Even Adrian Judd and Marcus Honeysett don't understand Zechariah. But don't tell them I said so. It is really important that we delve into the Old Testament. And when you do, you'll find that there are nearly 300 prophecies which will be fulfilled by Jesus. 300. That's just amazing, isn't it? And if you're interested in studying these things, I know this book looks very intimidating because it's very thick. And please, you do not read it from cover to cover. It's one of those books you decide to look at a particular bit and you read that bit. But it's called Evidence That Demands a Verdict by Josh McDowell. And it goes through the way that Jesus fulfills Scripture, amongst a whole load of other things about the authenticity of Scripture and so on and so forth. And that is a great book for dipping into and looking at these things in great detail and seeing that our faith stands up to scholarly inspection. And be encouraged. You know, we're no different from these two ordinary disciples on the Emmaus Road. And Jesus can and will reveal himself and speak to us, to you and to me. The fourth way that they saw Jesus was they saw Jesus in the bread. Now the Emmaus Road disciples probably hadn't been present at the Last Supper, and they hadn't witnessed Jesus breaking the bread at that very special meal. But surely they must have known about it. The apostles, with whom they've been spending time over recent days, must surely have told them about it. So, was it the breaking of bread that caused them to recognize Jesus? Was there something special about the way he broke the bread? Or did they just see the nail marks in his hands? I don't know, but what I do know is that seeing Jesus as we share the communion meal together is a vital part of our Christian lives as individuals and as a body of Christ. Eating the bread and drinking the wine at communion is especially important for us to remember Jesus. We remember Jesus there and we see him once again upon the cross. Never neglect the opportunity to share with the rest of the fellowship in communion. Our monthly communions have been very special and precious times for those who attend on those monthly evening communions. And equally, our communions in the morning services have been very special times. But as we celebrate communion together, we should also remember that we celebrate the risen Christ. And this should motivate us, as it did those disciples on the Emmaus Road, to rush out and tell our friends the story of our personal encounter with the risen Jesus Christ. That's what they want to do. They want to rush out. And notice they've already said to Jesus, it's too late to journey now, come back in with us. Too late to go on the road now. And yet what do? Up and off, straight away, to tell the disciples, because they're full of excitement. Jesus is risen, and we should be full of excitement too, to tell others that Jesus is risen. So the question we're left with from this passage is, are you seeing Jesus? Are you seeing Jesus on the cross? On the journey? In the scriptures? In the bread? Are you seeing the risen, resurrected, victorious Jesus Christ? In passing, I'm going to recommend two other books to you. Josh McDowell's book, The Resurrection, Proven Beyond Doubt. And that's a great one to read and pass on to somebody who can't understand how somebody could be raised from the dead. And also this one, Who Moved the Stone by Frank Morrison. Frank Morrison was an atheist. And he was fed up with these wretched Christians who kept talking about the blooming resurrection. And he said, I'm so sick of these Christians that keep witnessing to me. I shall go away and I shall investigate this, and I'm going to prove it's all a load of hogwash, and then I shall get them off my back once and for all. Fortunately for Frank Morrison, he hadn't allowed for the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to him. And during that process of investigating the historical evidence for the resurrection, he came to the Lord Jesus Christ as his Saviour, because he realised that Jesus has risen from the dead. And he wrote this book, Who Moved the Stone? Because the resurrection is pivotal to our Christian faith, that's why it's really important that we should understand it. And it's really important for how we live today. For as a German theologian once said, the evidence for Jesus' resurrection is so strong that nobody would question it except for two things. First, it is a very unusual event. And second, if you believe it happened, then you have to change the way you live. Amen. We could